Good morning. I know Jamie Wise has a couple announcements. Jamie, you want to make your way up here? Just a reminder, the Golden Age dinner is today after church. So if you're planning to attend, have you signed? I think you signed up to attend that. Don't forget to stop downstairs. That was one of yours. Sorry.
That's right. With the Golden Age dinner, anyone here age 60 and over and your spouses are welcome, whether you signed up or not. We just did that to get a count. So everyone here age 60 and over is welcome to come downstairs for the Golden Age dinner following the service. There will be a meal and also some entertainment. The second announcement I have is that if you have time this Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, it's October 30th, the 31st, and November 1st, there is a need for volunteers to help build a wheelchair ramp for someone on Little Mountain Road. There's a nonprofit organization here in Berks County called Little Acts of Love that is helping to build this ramp, but they are looking for volunteers to help with that project, Ed, if you're available. If you're available and like to help, please let me know, and then I'll put you in contact with them about the times and the location. Thank you.
I have two other announcements. The Holiday Bazaar is next Saturday here at the church from 8 to 2. If you've never attended, it's a lot of vendors and there's lots of things to look at. There's a lot of cool craft projects and to purchase. And next Sunday starts the Triple J at the cafe, correct, at 6 o'clock in the evening. Any other announcements? No? Okay, John Wise, you want to come up?
Good morning, everyone. Not an announcement, but a presentation. Matt, would you come forward? This is still October, and October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And with our new pastor, we thought we would start this tradition anew of expressing our appreciation to Pastor Matt. Matt, we appreciate your many gifts and talents, and we appreciate you being here. And for this year, we've chosen to give you a gift to use with your family. It's an Infinito's gift certificate. And we thank you very much for coming here and for serving us. And we look forward to many years ahead. Thanks, man.
It's a joy.
You'd please turn in your hymnal to number 669 and join me in the call to worship, and let's stand. 669. A mighty wind has blown.
And tongues of fire have danced.
The Spirit is with us.
Just as Jesus promised.
God's Spirit moves among us and gathers us together. God's Spirit is poured out upon us. Worship God with joy. Let's turn to hymn number 356.
Thank you.
It is such a joy to be with you. I guess it's been over a month now, and it's just a privilege and an honor and a humble opportunity to be able to serve as the senior pastor here, and just thank you for just your beautiful smiles every Sunday morning and just the welcome that we have received here as a family. So it's been a joy serving, and we come to that time to share joys and also to share concerns during our morning prayer. Are there any that you would like to share with us?
I'll be going in for prayer tomorrow to have my, surgery, have my knee done at the Reading Hospital. So if anybody wants to come visit me at home or there, welcome to.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I have two concerns today. Last week, I lifted up Scott Marty and how wonderfully he was doing. He apparently had a heart attack that morning and passed away. So, it's been pretty tough on the family. His youngest daughter turned 6 years old this week, so it's been a real struggle for them. So if we could keep them in prayer. And then one of my other coworkers, also a good neighbor of mine, her mother has been told this week that her stage 4 cancer is no longer treatable. Her name is Mary Shank.
Mary Shank. Any others this morning?
Yeah, I'd like to have you give Earl's family in prayer and the Eberle family that the situation happened to, because he's hurting real bad.
Thank you. Any others? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are indeed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we don't always understand circumstances that take place in our lives, but we do turn to you this morning, and we ask for your understanding, for your comfort and your peace among the many situations that we are in front of. We think of Earl, and we think of Rachel, and just the tragedy that happened there, and just pray your peace over that entire situation, Lord. And we pray for your will to be accomplished as the days unfold. Lord, we learn of Scott Marty's death, and we think of his family and think of his young children, Lord, and it's difficult to comprehend why death happens at such ages. But Lord, we just turn to you, and we ask your healing touch upon that family, Lord, that you would demonstrate your love to them in real practical ways, that they would know that you are near. And we think of Lisa going in for knee surgery, and we pray for the doctors that you would guide their hands, that you would give them the wisdom they need to perform that surgery they do time and time again. But we just ask your comfort to release any anxiety Lisa may be feeling and just to anoint her in a real way this day as she prepares for that surgery tomorrow morning. And we think of Mary with stage 4 cancer at a point that it's untreatable. But Lord, we do also recognize you as the master physician. And Lord, if it be your will, we just pray you would touch Mary and you would just allow that cancer to disappear in Jesus' name. And we would give you all the glory and the honor. And we think of those on our prayer concerns as well with Joyce and Thomas and Bobby and Lester and Joan and Thomas and Betty and Chris and the family of Dennis grieving. And we again ask for your healing touch upon them, Lord. We trust you in our situations. We pray that you would allow us to be able to seek after you and be able to know that it's in these times that your presence is even more powerful. For when we are weak, Lord, we know that you are very strong. So we just pray for strength during these times of suffering and during these times of recovery and during these times of loss. And Lord, we just pray for each one here this morning. You know our individual needs. And during these next few moments of silent prayer, we lift those up to you, as well as confess those things that we may have done that aren't pleasing to you. And we ask of your forgiveness during these next few moments. Lord, this morning we surrender our lives to you. We ask that we would be vessels. We ask that we would be beacons of your light and that we would let your love be known in this world. Lord, help us to be a true witness to those that we come in contact with that may not know you. Even any that may be here this morning that are struggling in their relationship with you, Lord, I pray that you would just allow them to find understanding and to find your grace in the midst of their trial and their discovery of truly who you are in their lives. And we just thank you for walking alongside us in this life, for being present in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I had my offertory thought kind of planned out before I got here this morning, and just bear with me. There's been so many tragedies that have happened this past week that I just felt led while I was sitting in the pew to kind of change what I was going to say. Most of you know that there's been a lot of changes in our family this year. I had a cousin who died. We had a really good friend die. I'm losing my job. And there's been a lot of tragedies this week with Earl and the unfortunate situation there and Dennis Keeney passing away. And so I just wanted to share a status update on Facebook that my cousin shared this week. And it was her sister who passed away at the beginning of the year. She wrote, 9 months ago, my life changed drastically. Live each day to the fullest. Don't hold grudges. Tell people you love them. You may never get the chance again. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Make sure you tell your family you love them, including your church family. We are such a great body of believers, and I love each and every one of you. And I know we all love each other, and we're there to support each other. And I thank God for each and every one of you every day. Let's pray. Dear God, nothing can replace the support that we have here from our church family. Help us to realize that without their love and support, that it would be much harder to get through these tragedies. Thank you for being there for us and helping us through all these horrible things that happen in our daily lives. In your name we pray, amen.
gentlemen, the future senior choir right here. Well done. Well done. High fives. All right. Good job, everyone. What's that? Whoa, big high five there. Any other children that want to join me for the children's moment this morning? Oh, there's Graham. All right. So I have a question for you guys this morning. LJ already knows the question. Sometimes having a child as the senior pastor in the children's moment may not always be a good thing. But the question this morning is, what would you think when you think of the wisest person in the world? What would you think of? Someone who's the wisest person in the world. You would think of God, okay? You would think of Jesus, okay? The wisest person in the world, what do you think? What about what would they look like? What would the wisest person in the world look like? Do you have another person? Yoda, okay, there we go. LJ, what would the wisest person in the world look like? Look like Jesus, okay. Any other answers? The wisest person in the world? They could fly? The wisest person could fly? Yeah? What do you think? An angel? Okay. All very good answers. We can tell we're in church this morning. Very good. Very, very good. Well, I have something in my hand, and he knows what it is. It's called a smartphone. And you know what this smartphone has a capability of doing? Awesomeness, yeah. It'll answer our questions. So why don't we ask Siri? Siri's her name. Anyone else have Siri in their pocket right now? Let's ask Siri, who's the wisest person in the world? You want to see what Siri says? Here, ready? I'm gonna push the button, and then you're gonna ask who's the wisest person in the world. Ready?
Who's the wisest person in the world?
Right now, go ahead.
Who's the wisest person in the world?
See if Siri can recognize their voice, and it says, let me think, smartest person in the world, and it comes up with the top 10 list, and it goes all the way from, there you go, all right. So chess players are considered smart people. Do any of you guys play chess? Whoa, they play chess at such a young age. They could beat me probably. This isn't good. But oftentimes, wise individuals really don't have God's wisdom, do they? Sometimes wise people can do things that really aren't lined up with what God would have us to do. So when we talk about wisdom, we want to talk about the true wisdom, which you guys answered very well this morning. True wisdom comes from God. So we want to thank God for the wisdom that he gives us, and we want to turn. Where would we turn if we're looking for God's wisdom? Where would we turn? To the Bible. Very good. Yeah, we would turn to his word. So let's thank the Lord this morning for the wisdom he gives us through his word. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these children here with us this morning. We often think about how smart we are, how wise we are, but Lord, when we compare to you, we're really not that intellectual at all. But Lord, when we think about the wisdom, we think about the knowledge that we have, may we look to your scriptures and just use that as our guide to be able to live out this life. Bless these children, bless their families, and just thank you that they know who the wisest person in the world is. And it's you, Lord Jesus, and it's you, Heavenly Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. You can head back to your seats.
Move the mic. All right, our scripture lesson this morning is from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness.
Well, looks like we're going for $1 million. I can't believe it. $1 million and all your lifelines intact. You didn't need those stinking lifelines, did you? Well, let me just bring you up to date here.
Please.
If you miss, you'll be reduced by $468,000. You'll go back down to $32,000. Here it is, a $1 million question. We rarely see these here. Only one of the contestants ever won $500,000 on our show. So if you're ready, let's go for the million. Which of these U.S. presidents appeared on the television series Laugh-In? Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford.
I like to call my parents right now.
Sure.
Use my lifeline, call my parents.
What are their names?
My father. I'll talk to my father.
Does Tom. He have a name?
Tom. He does have a name, yes. Tom.
All right. Our friends at AT&T will get your dad on the line, and we'll see if he can help you.
Hello?
Hello, Tom.
Yes.
Hi, Regis Philbin here from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Hi.
We've got your son, John, with us right now. He's doing pretty well.
Good.
He's won $500,000.
Wow.
And he's going for $1 million. And he needs your help to get there.
Okay.
So he's going to come on the line, read a question, four possible answers. One of them is the right answer. And the next voice you hear will be John's. John, you've got 30 seconds. Starts right now.
Hi, Dad.
Hi.
I don't really need your help, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to win $1 million. Because the U.S. president appeared on Laugh-In as Richard Nixon, that's my final answer.
Well, my gosh. What can I say except, Debbie, you're going to Paris, and this is the final answer heard all around the world. He's won $1 million. Debbie, come on down. Here it is, my man. Congratulations.
Oh.
Wow. Could it get any better than that? You're going for $1 million, all your lifelines are left, and you choose to phone a friend, not even needing to use that phone a friend. And the call just goes, "Hi, Dad. I don't really need your help. I just wanted to let you know I'm going to win $1 million. I can't even begin to imagine. But being the kind of person full of facts, bursting of knowledge, stored away up in our brain for exactly the right moment.
Used. Often, when we do picture someone wise, we think someone older, like a college professor. Those horned-rimmed glasses. They may not be a man that has great knowledge. They may not necessarily have wisdom. Because wisdom, we see, is greater than knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. If you remember back to my trial sermon, as we engage with culture, in particular this vast array of information, we do ourselves a favor to view it through a God lens. And if you remember, what this looks like is what you've recently acquired, that information, that knowledge. You overlay God's word to it like a transparency. So for example, is there anyone here who was taught how to connect wires in order to hotwire a car? Anyone here that can do that? First service, there was quite a few. So if you're taught, there, John, John's here. If you're taught how to connect wires to hotwire a car, in particular, if that's a car you don't own, and overlay God's word, you would be informed that stealing is not the correct thing to do. But many people accumulate such vast knowledge through schooling, experience, but they're not wise. Many others are wise, although they have little or no schooling. To take that knowledge we have and spiritually apply it is to be wise in God's eyes. We think back to the millionaire bragging about being wise. And the guy's essentially doing that. He's calling his father, already knowing the answer, bragging he's about to win the million. James says that's the worst kind of lie. Now this reminds me of our morning humor. And perhaps you've heard this before. But there's a minister, a Boy Scout, and the smartest man alive on a plane. And the pilot comes to them and says, the plane's going down. There's only 3 parachutes, and there's 4 people. The pilot adds, I should have one of the parachutes because I have a wife and 3 small children. So he took a parachute and he jumped. The smartest man boasted, I should have one of the parachutes because I'm full of facts and everyone needs me. So he took one and jumped. The minister turned to the Boy Scout and with a sad smile said, you are young and I have lived a rich life. So you take the remaining parachute and I'll go down with the plane. The Boy Scout said, relax, Reverend, relax. The smartest man in the world, he just jumped out with my knapsack. In our scripture lesson, James is telling us that true wisdom is not intellectual only. It's shown by a good life marked by humility, not pride. That smartest man may not have had a whole lot of reason to be prideful after all. Sometimes, as the saying goes, we're too smart for our own good. I would think that those of us connected here this morning online know that there is a vast array of information available at our fingertips. Though we may have learned sometimes the hard way that information is not always the best, but it's nice to have it for quick access. So I asked my wife while preparing this message to choose a word, any word, and she chooses the word straw. I have no idea why, but she says straw. And so I type it into Google, and the word search comes up with 6,280,000 results. Straw, we know, is a color, pale yellow, to be precise. It's used in context of a drinking straw. And then, of course, my favorite, that comfy, cushy straw bale. How we love to sit on those for hay rides in the back of a wagon at times. But there's a difference. There truly is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. As the New Living Translation verse heading notes, true wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is the application of facts. Knowledge is the accumulation of these facts. It's all this information stored up here, but as it's applied, it can become transformational when aligned with the Word of God. It's been said, if you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees and pray. Now, we can distinguish that knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. We might consider a tomato, for example. How many of you would say a tomato is a vegetable? How many of you would say a tomato is a fruit? The correct answer is a tomato is a fruit. That's knowledge. Now, knowing not to place that tomato into fruit salad, that's wisdom. If you're anything like my daughter Abby, you know tomatoes go into salsa. So James, to this point, has been writing at length about how we use our tongues and the destruction it can cause. We're now making the turn in our series, Talk is Cheap, to the deeper issue of wisdom. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Wisdom, we see, is the knowledge we need to live in this life and to interact with our circumstances and with those around us. James compares 2 basic sources. There's from God, and there's from the world around us. All along, James has focused on how to live as Christians in a world that is continually presenting trials, continually presenting tragedies. And the Christians he's writing to are, in fact, struggling. Their struggles have actually led them to question God's presence, to question God's care, to question God's activity in their life. How are we to handle the pressures of devastating health, financial problems, loneliness, manipulative relationships, or the daily frustrations that pile up and so easily lead our gaze away from the presence of our Heavenly Father? And the answer to this question is to know how to cope, is to know how to be wise. Of course, James is clear from the start that the only true wisdom he believes exists is wisdom from God. To the one who is wise and understanding, James says, by his good life, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So the question begs to be answered this morning, what then is a good life? Is it one free of trial, free of suffering? Of course not. It's a life lived out in the meekness, in the humility of wisdom. God, we know, is the true source of wisdom, and he's always willing to give it to those who ask. In fact, the beginning of wisdom for James is to be wise about the character of our good God and to be willing to receive from him. Contrary to popular belief, we're not wise on our own. We're encouraged to allow this generous, giving God to give to us. True wisdom is not advice. It's not good ideas or ideals. Wisdom gets real when it gets in motion, when it takes flight, when it's shown to others. To be wise is to see that our present circumstance does not and cannot tell the story of our true worth. This is so radical and not at all easy in this world. Everything seems to always be uneven, doesn't it? It's always tempting to notice everything that's out of place in our lives and to feel we're not able to live into the fullness we were intended to. And it's also very difficult not to compare our lives with others and to use those comparisons to boast about ourselves or to tear ourselves down. James turns to this and he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. You see, when this happens, we're not trusting in God's ability to give us life in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our suffering. Our jealousy and ambitious plans for ourselves do not reflect the real truth about who we are and where life is really found. As I read this passage and I reread it, I was struck by how much my life battles with these things. Every day there's the temptation to be jealous, to compare ourselves with someone else. It may be their looks, it may be their personality, it may be their health, or sometimes even their faith. It's so easy to align ourselves in ways that make us look good, make us look wise, make us look humble. And James is fully aware of this. He knows that when we are struggling with trials, this temptation's increased. So the first thing he says, if you have these feelings in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. No wisdom, especially the wisdom of the humble, can come out of a jealous and ambitious heart. You see, what happens is this puts a wedge between us and God. And even more so, it puts a wedge between us and others. And you know, often that wedge between us and others is those that are nearest and dearest to us. It says in verse 15, such things are earthly, unspiritual, and motivated by the devil. The wisdom of the world, which comes by way of comparison with others, is really, when we think about it, anti-wisdom. It leads to nothing but destruction and death. Yet somehow the world thinks of it as sophisticated and advanced. James is clear that there's nothing good that can come out of trying to justify our jealousy. Sometimes we'll make exceptions for ourselves because of our difficult things that we're dealing with. Yes, we may think to ourselves, we know that God is the source of life. But my marriage, my finances, my state of being are so bad I can't help but have envy and jealousy towards others. Or we may not acknowledge that while God is present in our life, he can't possibly be my entire source of joy, peace, and life. But James wants to remind us this kind of thinking or wisdom is from the world. It's not coming from our Father of lights who never changes. never casts shifting shadows. There simply aren't positive results when we're motivated to focus on ourselves at the expense of others. There's no security or peace in an environment where everyone is primarily concerned for their own being. It's impossible to find rest there. Now that James has exposed the true poison of worldly wisdom, he turns our attention again to the wisdom God gives us. First, he says, James says, God's wisdom is pure. He actually comes back to this at the end of the passage when he says, it shows no partiality and is always sincere. God's wisdom is not double-minded. He gives us all one thing, and that one thing is himself. It enables us to grow more and more in wisdom. And the more and more that we are filled with that wisdom, the more we are in connection with his one real life. We're through and through pure who we are created to be. When we know and live in the truth that we receive our lives and identities from God, then we have nothing to prove, nothing to control on this earth. We can be in his peace and at the very same time be peaceable towards others. What we learn is God's wisdom we receive is gentle. It's not violent. It's open to reason, but not threatened. And the wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits. Now, I don't know about you, friends, but that is what I call delightful. This wisdom is from God because he is God. He's describing the wisdom that God has toward us. This is who he is. How more wonderful could God be? And as his word is implanted within us, it's at work to share his very heart with others. James ends our scripture lesson with this thought. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. With this, he sums up his entire point. Envy and jealousy can never lead to righteousness, but only trouble. True wisdom from God, given as the gift of God, bears fruit, which has as its root peace with God and peace with others. Wisdom and peace go together like chocolate and peanut butter, like eggs and bacon, like Oreo cookies and milk, like steak and potatoes. No wonder Jesus said he offers us through himself his own peace. A peace that the world cannot provide or accomplish. James is essentially breaking it down like this. If you are wise and understand God's ways, live a life of steady goodness so that only good deeds will flow forth. What James is after is consistency. He wants us to follow Jesus through and through, to be blessing people without telling the world, look what I've done. This man was homeless, without food, and poor. Now I have given him shelter, something to eat, and wealth to carry on. Not at all what wisdom is telling us. We serve, and we do quite well with this at Little Swatara, without selfish ambition. For it's a high standard we've come to know, and we should expect no less, knowing that the gospel is indeed the message of salvation. But the danger, as always, is that people take bits and pieces of this message and they leave the rest, for it's too challenging. But our scripture informs us and is very clear. Wisdom comes from heaven and it's pure. It's peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. There's no partiality and it's always sincere. It's no accident. No accident whatsoever that James follows his teaching on what we talked about last week, being slow to speak, slow to get angry, and being quick to listen with the teaching on true and false wisdom. For we know and we've come to understand God's genuine wisdom is nonviolent. It's rated G. It's on the Disney Channel, if you will. Well, we could question that. We can't allow nice words to flow from our lips at one moment and a harsh criticism the next. So the challenge is this.
How can we tell the truth about the way the world is and the way sinful behavior abounds without turning it into an endless objection? In particular, without becoming someone whose appearance of wisdom consists of being able to find a critical word about everyone and about everything. It's simple. It's simple in reality when we think about it. We want to be a people lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness. For we all have come to know that in that light is where we find Jesus. We are brethren after all. Peace is our stance. Nonviolence is our way. So might we apply God's wisdom and avoid the horrors of false wisdom. You see, it's not by the decisions we make, but in the way we make them. Sometimes we try to tell God how to do his job, as if he needs any help with that, right? But we'll protest against the brokenness in the world. People dying of starvation, disasters wiping out communities, epidemics spreading across the nation, war breaking out, and inequality. And we'll say to God, why? Why don't you do something? And you know what his reply every single time is going to be? I have done something. I created you. Too often, and I'm guilty of this as well, we're self-seeking. We seem to know the answers. And when our prayer comes back with a different answer, we question God. But here's the thing I've learned in the short time I've lived on this earth. If we apply godly wisdom to that outcome of prayer, we realize, perhaps not right away, but one day, that answer to our prayer was needed for that time. In the moment, it didn't make any sense. But as time went by, we realized God indeed knew what he was doing. So here's our question for this morning. With all this knowledge and information, do we think we're any wiser? For we know the Bible is all about us becoming wise and understanding. Real wisdom looks like godliness. It's manifested in good behavior. It's demonstrated in gentleness. If we think we're wise, we can find out in one particular way. Simply looking at our lives. Proverbs 1:7 says it like this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. I believe the main emphasis of the entire Bible is the fear of the Lord. In this verse, we see that there are two types of people. Those who fear the Lord and the fools who do not. A fool's not someone who's a couple bricks short of a load. One whose elevator doesn't go to the top floor. It's not someone who is a few fries short of a Happy Meal. Here in this verse, the fool is the one who doesn't follow God's ways. He's the one who knows the right thing to do, but instead does the opposite, or he simply does nothing. In the New Testament, the contrast is between the believer and the non-believer, the saved and the lost, those in the light and those still walking in darkness. Wisdom doesn't follow us as we get older. We obtain it as we seek it. As the saying goes, we can only be young once, but we can be immature indefinitely. It's not enough to just claim to be wise or even to understand something. We must show it by how we live. The true test of wisdom is works, not words. It doesn't work when we try to do things our way, because we need God to come down in order to find forgiveness and peace. And the comforting news this very day is that he did come down. He sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. Remember this truth from 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So we continue to challenge ourselves to plant peace in other people. But first, we need to be at peace with ourselves. When God grows purity and peace in us, then we can plant it in others. If the root is right, the fruit will be right. So we have a choice today. Everyone loves choices, right? We can follow the ways of the world, or we can follow God's way of wisdom. Isaiah 32:17 says this: the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. May we have those abounding in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that there is forgiveness through the cross. We have comfort this day knowing that your Son Jesus came down. Lord, it doesn't make our daily tasks, our daily trials and daily sufferings any easier. But Lord, we do turn to you because we know through you we do find peace. So Lord, this day I pray that if we struggle to find peace with ourselves, we wouldn't allow it to continue to stir within, but we would talk to someone, someone mature in the faith to be able to grow in purity and result in growing in peace. But Father, don't let it stop there. Don't let the peace stay within us. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that peace would go out into this world that so desperately is crying for hope. Lord, we just thank you for your breath of life. We thank you for the opportunity to be lights in this world. Help us choose to follow your way of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. May we now discover the peace that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we come to know and understand His grace and mercy. And may we live a life that shines that light into this world. Go in peace. Demonstrate God's love. Amen.